Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, Christmas Presents.
God, thank you for this place where we can gather, even on a cold winter's morning. Father, we pray that our hearts would be warmed toward you. We pray that you would help us right now to not let this just be a time of talking or another event. Help this to actually be a time where we engage with ideas, where we think about what it means to follow Jesus, where we might gain some insight that could actually change and enhance the way we live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're talking about the idea of being present with our loved ones and our community and our workplace this Christmas season. The idea of us being a channel through which God can work and be present in all the places we are, in where we go and where we've been, to bring a sense of Him, as we just sang a few minutes ago. And today, we're going to start out in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I'd encourage you to get your Bible out and turn to that if you'd like. And we're actually going to be working the entire sermon time through that first 18 verses or so of the Gospel of John. And I hope that this will be a talk that is challenging both theologically and practically. I always like to get to the practical, but you know, the whole idea of why Jesus and what is the basis for this practical advice we're giving. I want us to start the whole idea of Jesus being the Word, being God and with God and entering our world. That is really, I mean, that's stuff that is mind-blowing, even to people who've been studying it and thinking about it for decades and decades, their whole lives. And yet, it's not something that I think that we should ignore. Some of you, the idea of reading the Scripture or understanding the Gospel, it's new to some of us. And some of us, we've said, you know, look, I know I believe in Jesus, and I want to follow Him. I think He has some good things to say. And I hear every week that He died for us and He gave His life for us. Well, those aren't things that we should just kind of skirt by. Those are things we need to think about deeply. And so I hope you'll stick with me, even though we're going to read a lot of verses this morning. I hope you'll stick with me and look for some real basic theological ideas that are part of being a Christian, and then to think about what do those theological ideas actually mean for how I'm going to live my life. Okay, so let's start with John chapter 1. I'm going to be reading New International Version, and you can follow along up here or in your Bible. Starts with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Now, this is in the Gospel of John, so you might think he's talking about John the Baptist here, okay? He's talking about the person who came and announced Jesus to the world. "That there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Out of his fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made God known. Okay, discuss. You know, that's a lot to think about, isn't it? A lot to get your head around. More than we'll have time to do today, but some ideas I'd like us to talk about. We're kind of focusing on the grace of truth. Last week, I gave an illustration of this little town in Norway that the light never gets down into the valley floor, and so they spent a lot of money to put up mirrors that follow the sun in the sky and reflect that sun down into the valley so that the people down there can get a little bit of sunshine in that valley. And so we were talking about how when people look up to the mirror, they're not looking up there to see a mirror. They're looking up there because they're hoping that mirror will be a channel of sunshine. Okay? In fact, if that mirror stops reflecting the sun, people will lose interest in it right away. And so all through this series, all through Christmas and Advent, what I'm suggesting is this: to be followers of Emmanuel, more than that, to become part of Emmanuel, to be part of the Emmanuel gift to the world, is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and reflect that light into the valley, into the shadows, into the darkness around us. And this morning, the particular rays I'm talking about are the rays of grace and truth. And so what I want us to do is look at Jesus and think, how did Jesus radiate with grace and truth? And because when you say we have seen his glory, we've seen his grace and truth, and this is glory as of the only Son of the Father. That's what it says in John 1, what we just read. The idea is, John is saying, in Jesus we are seeing in a new and clear and tangible way what it means to experience God's grace and God's truth. And so The first idea I want us to think about that we see in those verses is the idea that grace and truth has become flesh and blood. It's much easier to understand a person that you are touching and seeing and listening to and experiencing in a first-person way than it is to hear about an idea. John and the New Testament writers, the early Christians, all agreed that in Jesus they had experienced a flesh and blood version of God's grace and truth. In the 14th verse, John says, the Word became flesh. He said, we've seen His glory. Glory that comes from the Father. We've seen grace and truth. And it's not just in this passage. If you go to the first epistle of John, he says something similar. It really resonates. He begins his letter with these verses. That which was from the beginning, isn't that sound like the Gospel of John, in the beginning? That which was from the beginning, how does he say it this time? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This is the grace and truth. This is the person. This is the good news that we proclaim concerning the Word. In Colossians 1, Paul is on the same wavelength. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Christians in Colossae, he says this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. You see that? Paul said, we look to Jesus because Jesus is the tangible, visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the touchable, reachable expression of God's grace and truth because God's grace and truth, God's fullness, dwelt in Jesus, the Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, somebody I think is another New Testament writer. The Hebrew writer starts with these verses. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Okay, what's the first words? In the past. He says, I want to tell you about something new. In the past, God has been reaching out. God's been trying to reveal Himself to us in many ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us, how? By His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. These guys are on a pretty tight wavelength, aren't they? The Son is the radiance of God's glory. We beheld His glory, right? The Son is the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. See, the Word of God, it's not just information. It's the authority. It's the very essence. It's the truth. It's what's real. In Jesus, the New Testament scriptures tell us, the early church testifies that in Jesus, we see God's glory. We see the very essence and truth of God radiating in Jesus. Jesus lives out God's glorious grace and truth in visible, understandable, clear, and relatable ways. Why should I read the Gospels? Why should I open up my Bible and be interested in a parable of Jesus? Why should I be interested in reading about Jesus' interaction with a woman at a well? Why should I be interested in Jesus talking to a blind man or touching a leper or confronting a Pharisee or whatever, laying down His life, being willing to die on a cross, raising someone from the dead? Why should I care about reading through the Gospels? Because that reading, that experience, That attention that you give to Jesus is what opens up a door for you to see God's grace and truth in a very tangible, relatable way. When I read the Gospels, I read through and I think, what would it feel like to be there? And I get specific. I'd encourage you to do this too. When you're reading it, you know, like you read about a story, think about what's going on. Where are they? Are they by the sea? Can you smell the sea when you're reading it? Is it the middle of the day? Have you ever been thirsty and out in the sun on a hot day? What if somebody came up to you and said, "Could I have a drink?" Can you relate to those stories? What if you were paralyzed and you had heard that Jesus might heal you? Can you read that story? And can you relate to the joy that what must be going on in the heart of that man laying on a gurney, being his friends say, "We're not taking no for an answer. We're cutting a hole in the roof and lowering you down right in front of him." Can you read those stories and see something that's more tangible than the idea of, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God"? That's all great. I like that stuff. I like that heady, philosophical, cosmological talk. I like that. John starts with that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and I'm getting confused already. But then he works his way down, and by the time I get to verse 14, I say, he lived with us. And we could see him and touch him and listen to him and laugh with him and get offended by him. Secondly, grace and truth. The scriptures tell us the grace and truth we see in Jesus outshines all others. The brightest place. The strongest flashlight in the drawer. John 1, verses 15 through 18, we read it. John says that when John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus saying, "This is the one, this is the one," he included this little word. He said, this little word, he's saying, "I've been preaching to you. I've been telling you what God wants to do. I've been saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And this guy surpasses me. You've all been coming out to hear me preach," John the Baptist says. "You can now give your attention to him. He surpasses me." In another place, John says, "He must increase and I must decrease," because the word is most clearly visible, not in the mouth of a preacher, but in the life of the Christ. Verse 16, it says, out of his fullness, him being Jesus, the Word, the Christ, out of his fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. You see, the grace of God has always been here. You know, sometimes people say the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is grace, and that's a false dichotomy. The Old Testament, I've read it, it's filled with God's grace. God graciously, mercifully deals with his people all through the Old Testament. Grace didn't become invented. You know, it wasn't like God said, "Oh, I think I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I think I'll be gracious now and send Jesus into the world." No, what happens with Jesus is now there is a clearer, more tangible, more undeniable expression of that grace that we are so slow to catch on to. The grace that we see in Jesus outshines any grace we've seen. In the past, as the Hebrew writer said, God spoke to us this way. Now God's just getting in our face with Jesus. And he's outshining them all. He says, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. Well, he himself is God and is in the closest relationship with the Father. That sounds like a pretty good qualification to be the shiniest version of what God's grace and truth looks like, doesn't it? So the scriptures tell us that Jesus is the clearest and fullest revelation of God's grace and truth. Did you hear that? That's why we're called Christians. Because we're following Jesus, because we think Jesus is the heart. Jesus is the core. He's the one we're following. The law, and that's just Old Testament, that's just Bible talk for the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, that's another part of the Old Testament. The temple, all stories, all scriptures, all visions pale in comparison to the tangible grace and truth we see in the life, words, teaching, claims, promises, and challenges of Jesus. So, Jesus outshines anything the Apostle Paul ever said about it. Jesus outshines anything the prophet Isaiah could have possibly hoped for. You see, Jesus actually outshines the Bible. Now, that sounds a little circular because it's like, well, don't I have to read the Bible to get Jesus? Yeah, but the Bible is supposed to point you to and reveal that. But our allegiance is not to a book. Our allegiance is to the Christ that the book points us to. Right? The book is not the end. Jesus, the grace and truth of God, that's the end. The book is helping us get there. Jesus the Son is God and is in closest relationship with God. That makes, and he's the one who makes God's grace and truth known. Finally, now we're going to get from the theological case that we should look at Jesus for grace and truth. And now we're going to talk about how we should reflect it. Even more than reflect it, become part of it. Verses 12 and 13 of that first chapter say this: to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, some translations say the power to become, the children of God. Not any kind of birth that you've heard about. We're talking about the birth that only God can do. The creative, powerful word of God. Not only when we put our faith, the scriptures tell us that when we put our faith in Jesus, not only do we say, wow, that's wonderful. He's a savior. He's a Lord. He's somebody to listen to. Yeah, he's not just that. He's someone to become. He's someone to become one with. To become a co-heir with him. To be adopted through him. To be transformed by him. The whole idea is that when we put our faith in Christ, we don't just put our faith in something over there. We put our faith in something that makes us become like him. Born again is how some people call it. John is saying that when we accept Jesus as the only begotten Son, the Word made flesh, the fullest expression of God's grace and truth, we too can become born of God. That's better than being a mirror up on the hill. That's joining the light, the source of light. You know, Jesus talked about it like that a lot. Come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow from you. See the light and become the light. This is the gospel. When we recognize Emmanuel in Christ, when we recognize that in Jesus we are seeing God with us, we too can become Emmanuel. You see, here's the idea I'm trying to really get across through this series. The idea is not just to relish in that Christ is coming, God showing himself to us. The idea is that he is changing us and that we become tangible, visible expressions of the power of God in our world, that we are the presence of the Savior at Christmas, that we are the presence of truth and grace. We're not merely called to be recipients of God's grace and truth, but rather to be a channel of God's grace and truth. And this, John says, begins with receiving. To those who received and believed, we receive him and we place our faith in him. How do we become born of God? How do we become changed by the light and become even a source of light? It starts with saying, I believe him and I surrender to him. And I want him to put light in me. This begins with receiving Christ and placing our faith in him. So how do we do it? How can you and I be grace and truth? Well, let me ask you. Some of you, how many of you have a Bible? Anybody got a Bible? Anybody think you could find one? If you got a scripture and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or just start with John if you want. Luke and John. If you opened up those scriptures and started reading and saying, I want to see how Jesus lived out grace and truth, I bet you could do that. You know, just take a little lens, get yourself some like glasses that say grace and truth on them. And when you read those stories, say, where I'm looking, I'm on a hunt. I'm hunting for grace and truth. Okay, and I think, you know, when I think of the gospel stories, I can see times where Jesus is offering forgiveness. You could probably think of a story like that, right? Or empathy. Like I think about like when Jesus, I mean, I could go on with every one of these words. You know, Jesus, his friend Lazarus dies, everybody's crying. What does Jesus do? Cries. When I read that story and I see everybody was crying, it says Jesus was moved deeply and he wept. I don't just see tears, I see grace and truth. I say that's how you live it out. That's what God-shaped glory looks like. It cries with you. It empathizes with you. It laughs when you're laughing. It cries. It shares your joys. It shares your fears. Encouragement. Did you ever see Jesus ever encourage anybody? Sure. You know, when I read a story about a centurion that comes to Jesus, says, can you heal my servant? And Jesus says, let's go. And he says, no, you just stay here. If you're doing it, I just trust you. I'll go home now. I'll go home to see my well servant. And Jesus turns around and says, whoa, that dude's got faith. That's encouraging, you see? Patience, joy, grief, confrontation, extending hope, fellowship, simplicity, crossing barriers, taking risks, living a devoted and intentional life, praying, exposing falsehoods, pointing out hypocrisy, sacrificing, being obedient, being loyal, suffering, persevering, choosing the right priorities. This is all what God's grace and truth looks like. So how in the world do you and I become the presence of God's grace and truth in the world? It looks exactly the same. Anybody had anybody in your life that could use some forgiveness? Try that. You say, well, that's not me. Well, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for Jesus. Risk-taking. Watch out, Rob. Intentionality, prayer. You know, in the scriptures, we see Jesus getting up and going out to pray in the morning. We see Jesus doing things like going out in the wilderness to think about his mission and his purpose in life. It didn't just happen because he was Jesus. It happens because that's what grace and truth does to you. It makes you live this way. Jesus is not just an object of faith. Jesus is the source of transformation. You're the object. Jesus is the power. You're the object. You're where the change is supposed to happen. I'm where the change is supposed to happen. How can we become the Emmanuel of grace and truth now? How can those of us who put faith in Jesus demonstrate we are born of God? How do we become flesh and blood, touchable, understandable, visible expressions of God's grace and truth? I think you've got some ideas. I think there are people in your life at work that could use some patience. I think there are neighbors that could use some encouragement. I think there are some people you know who could use a meal. I think there are some people you know who could use babysitting some night. That's what God's grace and truth looks like. It's not some lofty cosmological idea. It's right down here on earth, flesh and blood. Touch it, see it, experience it, know it. In where we go and where we've been, oh, may we bring a sense of Him who came to us in flesh and blood, who blessed and did all people good. Emmanuel, the name we bear. The life that He gives is the life we share. Emmanuel, oh, may we be the light of His presence for all to see. The light of His presence for all to see. Don't just be a believer. Be a vessel. Don't just be a believer. Be grace and truth. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Jesus who lived among us. May we be born of you so that we might live in this world, experiencing the grace and truth of Jesus in our own lives and passing it along to the world around us. In His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcasts and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note through our website, valleycc.org.